This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
G'day, welcome to the Hope Mornings weekly podcast. I'm Katrina Rowe. This week, my special guest is children's entertainer Sam Moran, previously known as the Formula Wiggle. Sam is now well and truly carving out his own space in the children's entertainment arena. This week, Target and Kmart pulled violent video game Grand Theft Auto from their shelves. The R rating for video games was only introduced in Australia in 2013, but parents are still buying R-rated games for their kids. Colette Smart from Family Smart spoke to us as the petition was going viral about why she wanted the game withdrawn from the family-based store. A few months ago, actress Emma Watts addressed the UN on the topic of feminism, but since then she's received death threats and even been the victim of a hoax death online. Joanna Hayes from Celibate in the City discusses the fallout of Emma Watson's speech. A warning from Choice, don't get caught out by fake online reviews this Christmas. Andrew Morris gives us some tips on how to distinguish between the genuine reviews and the imposters. We catch up with Jeff Mallinson from Nature Play New South Wales about Boycott Homework Day. At the moment, many kids spend less time outside than maximum security prison inmates. We find out why they need some more time to muck around outside. And Mark Hadley reviews the new Ridley Scott biblical epic, Exodus, Gods and Kings. The movie looks sensational, but will it be true to the original story and intention? That's all coming up in the Hope Mornings Weekly podcast. Don't forget you can download it from the Hope 103.2 website or subscribe on iTunes. Just search for Hope Media and select the Hope Mornings Weekly podcast. I'm Katrina Rowe. Thanks for listening. Since it's December 1, we are now officially allowed to get all Christmassy on you. And let's start with the Variety Santa Fun Run. It's on this Sunday, starting in Darling Harbour and finishing on the steps of the Sydney Opera House. Now, one of the celebrity ambassadors donning a Santa suit is Sam Moran, now the star of Play Along with Sam on Nickelodeon Junior, also known as the former Wiggle. Now, Sam, before we talk about the serious Santa business.
Yeah.
What's this I hear about a surprise appearance by you at a Tiny Tutu's dance recital over the weekend? Is that true?
That is true. I did make a little surprise appearance.
Yeah, how did that go?
A few little numbers for their dance recital. It went very well.
Lots of fun.
They were all very surprised and very happy.
Yes. Now, look, another event that you recently appeared at, of course, was the Arias. And you know, unfortunately, it was a little bit overshadowed by being in the same category as the Wiggles. But that is not the only award you've been nominated for. There have been Astras, there have been Logies. Does it feel good to kind of be establishing your show and your music now in your own right?
Yeah, it does. And it's really, and those, you know, those nominations are really just reaffirmations that you're on the right track. And what you're doing is, you know, people are acknowledging as what you should be doing. So that's a good, it's definitely a nice affirmation for that.
Yeah, certainly. Now, you obviously haven't always been a children's entertainer. You're a very accomplished singer, but you're sticking with the kiddie thing at the moment. What do you enjoy about performing for and alongside with children?
You know, I think it's just as an audience, they're just really honest and sincere, and they're the toughest audience, but the most rewarding audience at the end of the day as well. You know, if they're certainly the toughest audience, if you're not entertaining them, children will literally just turn around and walk away.
It's so funny you should say that, because I write children's picture books as well, and when you do a reading, you know when you've got them and you know when you've lost them. So
exactly, that makes it all the more rewarding when you do have them for your whole time. And you know, when people say that they don't have a long attention span, well, you know, if you're engaging them correctly, you have them for as long as you can.
Yeah, that's so true. Now, you've done the Santa Fun Run before, I know. How hard is it to run in a Santa suit?
You know what? It's not as hard as you think. They provide the Santa suits and they're very lightweight, but it is quite incredible when you're down there at the starting line and to see how many Santas are there. It feels like it's a Guinness Book World Record. Trying to get the number of Santas in the one spot.
And how do you answer all the kids? How do you answer all the kids' tricky questions? Which one's the real Santa?
Oh, well, they're the ones. They're dressed up as Santa too. They know they're there for a fun time and being able to dress up and join in.
Okay, so it's literally how many Santas do run through? Are we talking thousands or is it that many?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely thousands. It's when you get down in Darling Harbour, it's as far as the eye can see. It's quite crazy.
Yeah, sounds like fun.
In now, a good way. It is a lot of fun.
And why do you want to help support Variety, the children's charity? What is it about them that's captured you, Sam?
Well, I've been an ambassador for Variety now for about 18 months, and they've been, and what everybody knows the amazing work they do. You know, they provide funding for children that in need with disabilities that need a wheelchair upgrade but can't afford it, and just trying to help children with disabilities get through their life, basically. And but even, not only that, they provide scholarships for children. There was where I was at a Variety fundraiser on just this past weekend, and one of the past recipients of one of those scholarships, the scholarships enabled them to go and take music classes as they were growing up. And that that girl now has just signed an EP deal with Universal Music, and her EP comes out soon. So, you know, it's amazing to see the work they do and to see the benefits that come from the funding they're able to achieve.
Well, that is so encouraging. Now, Sam, before I let you go, I just wanted to, you know, pick your brain a little bit. What's next for you, Sam? Because you've got this show, you've got had these albums which have been doing great. What's your next project?
Well, my first DVD finally comes out this week.
Yay!
Comes out in all around the country, so it'll be available in all retail stores. It'll make a perfect Christmas gift for any young child.
Yeah.
it's been something I've been working on with Nick Jr. obviously for quite a long time, and finally the first. Everybody's been, every time I go and make an appearance, it's like, when is the DVD coming out? And
so
this is it.
Finally.
It's coming out this week, and there'll be more to follow also.
Yeah. Well, I had a caller ring up not so long ago, Sam, who said, don't call Sam a former Yellow Wiggle. He's so much more than that. He's so talented. He's so wonderful. I said, oh, look, I know all of that because I've actually heard you sing. Congratulations on your success, and I hope the DVD goes fantastically well for you, Sam.
Thank you very much.
A lot of people have concerns about violent video games in general, but one game in particular has really gone beyond just thuggish, shoot 'em up kind of violence to really encouraging insidious crimes against women. A petition to Target asking them to remove the new Grand Theft Auto 5 from their shelves and their Christmas catalogue has already received 28,000 signatures. Colette Smart from Family Smart is on the line to ask for your support. Hi, Colette.
Good morning, Katrina.
Well, firstly, what are your main concerns with Grand Theft Auto?
I've seen a lot of places in social media where parents are saying, or adults are saying, well, you know, obviously it's an R18 plus rating, and why shouldn't adults have the right to play this game? It doesn't even look realistic. Let me just start with children. So regardless of the rating of Grand Theft Auto, unfortunately, my colleagues and I are seeing a large proportion of primary-aged children, particularly boys.
Wow, primary-aged kids.
Game. Absolutely. If you talk to the guys at some of the gaming shops, they will verify that parents come in with their young children and purchase the game for their kids.
When it's rated R.
It's rated R. Parents seem to not be concerned.
It's unbelievable.
About the rating. And I overhear, my colleagues overhear, children, young children talking about the prices for sex because it's part of the game, oral sex within the game because they play it. I've even heard an account of a family whose 8-year-old son was having a lap dance with a prostitute performed on him as his character during the game. So, you know, on offer in this game is, you know, this ability to have first-person sex with prostitutes and then kill them horrifically afterwards. And parents don't realize that this is in the game.
Oh, I just feel sick. I'm absolutely horrified that 8-year-old would be doing that. And I just think, what hope is there for
absolutely
them of having normal relationships if this
yeah,
is...
Yeah, and what a normal relationship is. I mean, in the game, certain things that you do, obviously the aim is to make the most money. So you use the cheapest weapons. So you might use an axe to murder a prostitute rather than a semi-automatic weapon because that's more expensive. So the murder is more gruesome. And you don't let her get away with your money, so you have to kill her afterwards. And the thing is, you know, people are defending their right to watch this game as fantasy or play it because they are adults. The interesting thing is that part of the brain that triggers arousal doesn't know that it's not real. Despite the rational brain's awareness, neurologically, still your brain seems to trigger this pairing to violent acts. And then as parents, we have to ask ourselves, what message are we giving to our children if we tolerate Grand Theft Auto 5 in our homes as an adult? What message are we saying about the values that we have as adults and our regard for women and other people.
Yeah, I don't even understand how people can say, oh, well, you know, well, it's aimed at adults. Like, that's not good for anyone
Use, absolutely. Why would this be fun in your
mind? Yeah. Well, what do we know about the impact of violent video games on aggressive behaviour and impact on relationships and that kind of thing?
Well, if we consider there's a lot out on positive psychology, it's the big buzz word at the moment, and this evidence obviously indicates pro-social games increase pro-social behavior and helping behaviors. They elevate mood. The adverse is in fact true for violent games. There are now 5 decades of research into violent media. The Center of Media and Children's Health at Harvard lists about 2,000 research reports on violent media. So it's not just some of our opinion. We know there's research associated with exposure to media violence, which affects physical, mental health problems in children and adolescents. We're seeing an increase in aggressive and violent behaviors, bullying, and desensitization to violence. And this is not just, you know, in America. We always say, oh, that's America. This is cross-sectional studies across Eastern and Western cultures in both men and women, and regardless of socioeconomic background or your culture. What people might find interesting is there's, in fact, more research on media violence and the effects on behavior than there is on condom non-use and HIV infection, and almost as much as cigarette smoking and lung cancer. Mm-hmm. Yet we laud those studies as fantastic scientific studies, and we just disregard it when it comes to violent media.
Okay. Now, you've convinced me. So how do we get in on the petition? What are you asking for, and where can we find it?
So the best thing to do is to go to change.org, find or search on their Grand Theft Auto. Okay. I'm sure you, Hope 103, will pop it on your Facebook page.
Yes.
I'll put it on my Facebook page, on Colette Smart, and people can find the direct link to the petition.
Okay.
I think it's important to just to say to parents, parents will often say, oh, you know, I've seen my child play these games. There's nothing wrong. Nothing changes with them. It's important to remember as parents, we don't notice our children growing taller overnight. So you may not notice the effect over a short period, but certainly over a long period with regular consistent consumption of these games, you will start to see changes in aggressive thoughts, feelings, and behaviors when you see your children interacting with their family, their siblings, their peers.
Mm-hmm.
So those are, you're starting to look for little changes in aggression, and those are certainly coming out.
Okay. Well, thanks, Colette. Appreciate you filling us in about this, because we do need to all be aware about it. So thank you.
Thank you.
That's Colette Smart from Family Smart. You can find the petition online at change.org and search on Grand Theft Auto. We will, of course, pop it up on the Hope 1032 Facebook page. A few months ago, actress Emma Watson gave a speech about gender equality at the launch of He for She at the United Nations. Now, you wouldn't think there was anything too remarkable about that, but since the speech went viral, she's been plagued by vicious death threats, a hoax threat to publish nude photos of her, and she's even had her death faked on the internet. Joanna Hayes from Celibate in the City is on the line to discuss the fallout of Emma Watson's speech. Hey, Joanna.
Morning, Katrina.
What was it about this that was so controversial?
It's kind of weird, isn't it? Because as you say, like the UN having a speech about women, that's a pretty normal thing for them. They have an entire section of their organisation is called UN Women. I think part of it, obviously, is her popularity and profile, which is why they use celebrities, so that they can attract attention to the work that they're doing. But I think part of it is that certainly in the US at the moment, and I think here, there's a lot of baggage about the word feminism, which she was trying to reclaim, in a sense, in the speech. And the reaction against that, unfortunately, displays the very reason that feminism is still important in our culture.
Yeah, it was interesting because Emma admitted this and addressed this in her speech, but yeah, the word feminist definitely does have a lot of negative connotations to it. And she, you know, she said that people think that it makes you a man hater. And I think a lot of women who actually really do care about women's issues wouldn't identify themselves as feminists because they don't have hairy armpits and they like men. I mean, do we need another word that has less aggressive connotations?
On the one hand, I think, sure, it would be great to get a new word because there clearly is so much baggage to the word feminism. And certainly one word that's kind of out there in the zeitgeist is equalism instead. seeing as feminism is about striving for equal rights for women. Let's call it equalism, so it privileges the feminine less.
Mm.
Except that the reality is that women are the ones being oppressed. Women are the ones who are not given human rights in the constitutions of countries all around the world. Women are the ones being harassed in public and experiencing violence in their home. So if we get rid of the word feminism, it actually silences the very reason that it needs to exist, which is that our sisters around the world are actually in a lot of difficulty. So on the one hand, sure, I'd love to get rid of the baggage, but on the other, I don't want to silence the actual problem that feminism existed for in the first place.
I feel like perhaps in the West, we're a little bit ignorant about the status of women around the world because we have so many more choices and freedoms than our sisters around the world. Is that part of the problem, perhaps? Or we kind of think, well, we don't need that anymore?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, we tend to think feminism is just about whether or not women should wear makeup in public or short shorts. Whereas, particularly in terms of the UN women that Emma was speaking on behalf of, this is about women being vulnerable in public whenever they leave their house in many countries around the world. This is about women who have finally been able to gain employment in countries like Bangladesh but are constantly harassed in the workplace. This is about women who need their own economic, like their own source of income so that they can support their family, but who are unsafe outside their home.
Mm.
These are the actual issues that women around the world are confronting. And actually, it's an issue in our own culture. If you look at domestic violence statistics in Australia, just under 500,000 Australian women reported that they had experienced physical or sexual violence or sexual assault in the last 12 months. So actually, even in our own culture, there are issues for women that need to be spoken about and addressed.
Mm.
But the baggage attached to the word and the superficial discussion in our culture means that we're not paying attention to the actual issue.
Okay. Well, the irony of all this, of course, is that the speech was actually an invitation to men to get involved in the gender equality issue. I mean, the He for She campaign is all about men standing up on behalf of women. And so the backlash is really terribly ironic.
Yeah, it is. Inviting men to care about the violence and issues confronting women, and they've threatened violence against the person that invited them to. I think it just shows that clearly there is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly we do actually need both men and women to work on these issues together. So personally, I'd repeat her invitation. Yes, feminism has baggage for us, but I think we can invite both men and women, particularly Christian men and women, to stand up for the rights of women around the world and to fight for the orphans and the widows and those who are vulnerable in our society.
Okay. Thank you, Joanna.
That's a pleasure.
That's Joanna Hayes from CelibateInTheCity.net discussing Emma Watson's speech to the UN. To find out more about the campaign she was launching, visit heforshe.org. So far, 196,000 men around the world have signed up to the campaign, but only 9,000 of them are from Australia. Still to come on the Hope Mornings Weekly podcast, why our kids are getting less time outside than free-range chickens and maximum security prison inmates. We'll talk about that with Jeff Mallinson from Nature Play New South Wales. Plus, Mark Hadley reviews the new Ridley Scott biblical epic, Exodus, Gods and Kings. Yesterday, consumer group Choice issued a warning to consumers about fake online reviews. Here's what Tom Godfrey from Choice had to say.
Fake reviewers essentially are paid to write fake reviews about dodgy products. So as you're shopping around this Christmas, you can't tell whether or not the review is genuine. So you might end up with a dud under your Christmas tree.
Well, our new media manager, Andrew Morris, is at hand to help us out with this. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, good to be with you, Katrina.
Can you tell us a little bit about the campaign? What's the gist of it?
It's very easy to get reviews on sites. It's a free way of having people endorse your product and all that kind of stuff. But it, like most things, it can be abused and all that kind of stuff. And over the years, it's got to a point where companies really do rely on customer reviews and stuff, and it can actually affect the bottom line of businesses. Okay. A review in Harvard Business School in 2011 basically said restaurants that increase their rankings on Yelp, which is a review site in the States, it reviews everything kind of stuff, their revenue can increase anything up to 10% via a change of stars. And so people who rave about a restaurant or bag one out, it can have a dramatic effect on a business's income and stuff. So it's important that that we can suss, and also as consumers, if we're buying a product and we buy a product based on reviews and it doesn't work out to be so well, you know, it has an impact. So the ACCC and Choice obviously see that this is a really important thing. Many states in America have started putting big laws in place for companies if they're found to be harboring and posting fake reviews on the site. And the percentage of people, of companies being found to put fake reviews is increasing. You know, it can be up to 7% on some sites or up to 15% on other sites. You know, it's a growing phenomenon of fake reviews.
Well, let's hear a little bit from the Choice campaign, because they've tried to tackle it in a sort of a slightly humorous way with some mock ads. Now, here's one of them.
Hi, my name's Tiffany Ann Jones, National Sales Manager for Nutramix. It's more than a blender. My sales, thanks to competitors, were getting shredded until I met Kev from Click Kings. Kev arranged some 5-star reviews at a great price so I could get back in the mix when it came to making sales. Love you, Kev.
That's pretty classic stuff, isn't it? But look, I mean, it sounds like more big businesses are getting caught out with this, and I think the travel review website TripAdvisor was one of them.
Yeah, well, TripAdvisor is a travel, you know, I use it, millions of people use TripAdvisor to find reviews of B&Bs and hotels that they may like to stay at. One guy thought, he created a fake fake place, and basically promoted it.
Kind of like a stunt to prove that you can't really verify what's on there.
Yeah,
that's
one case. Creating a fake event and a fake venue and all that kind of stuff. Other things are that you can pay $5 for a review. And get someone to do a creative piece of writing for your product or your hotel and stuff. But now TripAdvisor, if they catch you, are black banning or red banning you on their site.
Yeah, well, that's really decreasing the value of their website.
That's correct, and they don't want to do it. And I mean, the basic thing with TripAdvisor is that I look at photos posted by people who actually stay at these hotels rather than the hotel's photos, which, you know, may have been done when the hotel was opened. And basically, with something like TripAdvisor, you want to sort of remove the extremely positive and the extremely negative, and just go for that in between where they don't really mention the company name constantly in the review and all that kind of stuff. You just sort of,
So how can we tell the difference between the real reviews and the fake ones?
So basically, you want to go to sites that are reputable. That would be a good thing. And then look at verified reviewers, people who have to buy a product before they can review. Some sites you can review a product without even buying it. So if you can know that, you know, this person on Amazon has actually bought the book and has spent money.
Before they are allowed to review it.
That's correct. I mean, you can't. Yeah, so be aware of verified reviewers who have bought that property or booked that accommodation and have got a legitimate, you know, they're legitimate in that they've been there and stuff. Look for obvious language, hyperbole and exaggeration and exclamation marks and just really sort of big kind of language. Beware that, you know, I guess another thing is if click on the person who's reviewed it. If they've only done one review, you know.
Okay.
I mean, that's a good thing with Amazon when you see these power reviewers who've obviously bought books and are reviewing their books on a regular basis. So check the reviewer's public profile. And chuck the best and the worst reviews. Look for the stuff in between.
The ones that sound moderate. You know?
That's some basic stuff. Also, the ACCC has put out a publication for business owners to be aware of what their responsibilities are. And also, the ACCC has put out something for consumers, like those tips to beware, you know, seek information from multiple sources. You know, just don't go to productreview.com.au for your review on your fridge. Go and search it a little bit wider than that.
Yep. Okay. Well, thanks. That's some good tips. Andrew Morris, our new media manager there. We've been talking about fake online reviews and the fact that we all need to get just a little bit more savvy. Many of our kids spend less time outside than free-range chickens and maximum security inmates. According to community group Nature Play New South Wales, our kids deserve better, and it's time we do something about it. Nature Play New South Wales are kicking off Boycott Homework Day for Thursday the 4th of December 2014. Jeff Mallinson is a father of four and a Nature Play community advocate. Hey, Jeff.
Hi, Katrina.
Thanks for coming in. Now, some of our listeners might remember you, Jeff, from your ride across Australia with your 10-year-old son, Daniel.
Yeah, last year I rode across Australia with my son Daniel, and we had a great time. We actually spent a lot of time outdoors and a lot of time just doing free play, which is what this is all about too.
Yeah. Now, are kids really missing out on playing outside? I mean, do they actually have less time outside than maximum security inmates?
Yeah, they do. Most kids in Australia are spending far less than 2 hours a day outside, and our maximum security prisoners have to spend at least 2 hours a day outside. Even chickens have more time outside than our kids are. And it's not like it was when we were growing up. You know, we used to get home, we'd chuck the bag down, grab a bite to eat, and then we'd be out in the creek or out, you know, in the garden doing something or riding our bikes down the street. But our kids aren't doing that anymore.
And so why is that? Is it because of, you know, screen time? Is that what the culprit is?
There really are a whole heap of reasons. And there's a lot of good things, and we're just packing so many good things into our kids these days. Screens aren't bad, but yeah, they're spending a lot more time on screens. They're doing a lot more time in organised music lessons, for example, and also sport outside, which is different to free play. All these are good things, and so what gets squeezed out of their day is the time for them just to muck about and have fun and to just do their own thing, really.
So why is that important for kids to have that time in nature and, as you said, free play, not a structured activity?
A lot of studies have been done throughout the world, some in Australia, some in Western Australia, and in various places that have pointed to the fact that kids develop better when they're playing outside. Okay. And so when they're playing together, they learn all sorts of negotiating skills, they problem solve, and they're doing this themselves rather than parents stepping in and telling them how to resolve the problem or how to negotiate something. They learn how to take risks, and they learn what happens when they push too far, but they also learn to take better risks and more risks than what they do if they're playing inside.
Okay, and what about mental health? Because that's not something I know that pops up a lot, is that time outside in nature is good for well-being and mental health.
Absolutely, and that it really helps them develop a whole sense of being and a sense of who they are and a place in their world. In fact, someone who is injured actually heals better and faster if they are outside than if they're inside.
Wow, that's not something I've never heard before. So what do you want families to do on Boycott Homework Day?
Listen, on Boycott Homework Day, what we want to do is to say, instead of doing homework this afternoon, put down the homework and head outside. There's lots of ideas you could do. You could look at the sunset together, take a picnic outside and watch that. You could roll down a grassy hill. You could look for shapes of animals in the clouds. You could make mud, you know, pour some water in some dirt and just actually let the kids get dirty. Let them get their feet and their hands dirty. Put some old clothes on and just muck about. So it's just that one day where they can change that time where they would normally be doing homework, which is a good thing, but they can change that to doing a mucking about outside. So we can remember what it was like and how much value there is in mucking about outside. So let me give you an example of this, Katrina. The other day, one of my sons was really being a pill. He wasn't very nice. He was hitting his mother and he was behaving as some six-year-olds often do. And so I took him for a time out and took him over to a tree and just sat him down and just said, you just need to be away from people at the moment and take some time to yourself. And then what he did is he looked down at the ground and he found a whole heap of ants and they were moving stuff and carrying food. And then he spent probably half an hour or an hour just examining the ants, and his whole demeanor changed. He became this happy, joyful kid. He was no longer being selfish and really aggravated like he was before, and he became calm and really enjoyed just being part of and observing and, you know, seeing what these ants were doing. Mm. And so the benefits of nature play are as simple as that.
For time out, instead of putting them in a, you know, on a chair facing the wall, I think they should time out should be compulsory under a tree. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thanks, Jeff. That's Jeff Mallinson, father of four and advocate for Nature Play New South Wales. Thursday, December 4 is Boycott Homework Day. You can find out more at natureplaynsw.com.au or check out Nature Play on Facebook.
You say that you didn't cause all this. You say this is not your fault. So let's just see who's more effective at killing. You
Hope 103.2 Mornings with Katrina Rowe.
The Culture Collective.
It's one of the best movies I've seen for ages.
Really fun series, but it's got a great underlying message.
Guaranteed 8 out of 10.
As you would expect from the director of Gladiator, Ridley Scott's latest epic, Exodus, Gods and Kings, looks spectacular with its elaborate costumes, sets and special effects. Starring Christian Bale as Moses and our very own Joel Edgerton as Ramses, it's a grand scale battle between two brothers, one who wants to follow God and the other who wants to be God. Film reviewer Mark Hadley joins us. Hey, Mark.
Hey, how you going?
Now, look, I haven't seen the movie yet. It's only out today. But just from watching the trailer, it does look spectacular in terms of the costumes and the sets and the visual effects. I mean, did you enjoy that aspect of it?
I can tell you for sure. Like, it gives epic a whole new capital E.
Right.
I don't think we've actually done something of this sort of scale in biblical films since the golden age of Hollywood. No one has tried to go this big.
Wow.
And it's not just special effects, by the way. They've literally got a cast of thousands. So it is amazing to watch. And look, I don't think you could even begin to talk about how amazing it is without talking about the supernatural, the plagues that are taking place within the film, the Nile turning to blood, the darkness that covers the land, you know, ultimately the angel of death, the parting of the Red Sea. These things are epic.
There's a lot to work with, isn't there?
Like, when you think about it, this was God's epic film. When God talked to the people of Israel in the original story, he's saying, people will hear about this for hundreds of years to come.
Mm.
And certainly Ridley Scott has gone for that with gusto. It is the sort of film you sit afterwards and you think to yourself, wow, of course, it would have been like that. How terrifying.
Now, of course, we have to get to the biblical and historical accuracy with these kinds of, you know, epic Bible stories. Does it get the basics of the plot right?
Wouldn't you rather just stay on the special effects?
Okay.
In broad brush strokes, it is the story of Moses being used to deliver the people of God, Israel, from their slavery in Egypt. And I have to stay in the broadest brushstrokes because there's just a lot that's new in it, a lot that people will go, oh, okay, I can understand if I was a non-Christian and I was looking at that particular story. If I had no particular faith commitment and was just treating it as a story, I could see why I'd emphasize this or that. And then there are some additional things which as a Christian make you squirm a little.
Now, the first thing I heard about this movie, Mark, from someone who saw it, was that it does no justice to the character of God, that he comes across almost as a spoilt, petulant child throwing a big tantrum to get his own way. Did you think God was like that in the movie?
I think that's being generous. At the risk of putting a big sort of spoiler in the middle of the review, yeah, God is portrayed as a child. It's not like a child. He is a child. He has tantrums, gets really angsty and angry. He seems to lose control. He's turning to Moses for advice, help even. God is like a cosmic being doing things that are just out of control.
So it's like he doesn't even understand what he's doing, almost.
Well, he does. He's just not sure what the outcome is going to be. I think it's basically a picture of what an atheist would think. If there was a God who was responsible for these plagues, this is what he would be like.
Okay.
So there's this moment where in which Ramses, you know, Joel Edgerton, basically says, who would worship a God who kills children? You know, and that's really the voice of an atheistic production coming through. You know, there's no real understanding of the events because they're basically isolated. You see, it's just a story about a man who decides in the end who's so taken by the slavery and injustice, you know, being perpetrated on his people, that he's going to do something about it. It's just that story. It's lifted right out of the context of God's promises, right out of the context of God's love, right out of the context of what God is doing through this, that he's showing himself mighty to deliver, that he's showing himself persisting in love, you know, for people who think they've been forgotten. Basically, it looks like a slavery epic, you know, from the United States, just set in about 1200 BC.
No, that doesn't surprise me. And just briefly, how about the character of Moses? How does he fare?
Well, look, in all honesty, the one big thing about Moses that the Bible wants to tell you is that he was humble. And the reason why he was humble, no man was more humble than than Moses, the Bible says. And the reason why is because he knew that it was all God. He trusted God.
He knew it was all God. And in this case, look, I just want to say Christian Bale is a stand-up action hero. You know, but humble he ain't.
Well, 2.5 hours, very long film.
Yep.
Can we learn anything from it? Is it worth seeing?
I think it's worth seeing. Could you believe I would say that at the end of this? The reason why is because, you know, you can hope for elements in this, great things to encourage you and challenge you, and they're in there.
Okay.
But at the same time, you want to be a part of the conversation, and this is going to be a big conversation, an epic one.
Okay, thanks, Mark. That's our film reviewer, Mark Hadley, talking about the new Ridley Scott movie, Exodus, Gods and Kings. It stars Christian Bale and Joel Edgerton. It's rated M, and it's released today.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.